Krishna Hare 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 Rama Om Rama Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Om Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Om Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Om Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Vudare Srimade Bhaktivedanda Swamini Dinamini Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshadarini Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Dhyayado Vishayapum San Sangaste Shubhajayade Sangal Sanjayade Kaman Kamal Krotho Bijayade Krothal Bhavadi Sammoha Samohal Smriti Vibhrama Smriti Bhramshal Buddhinasho Buddhinashal Pranashyati That is the words we were discussing yesterday, that how the sound vibration in the form of words can make the mind to move. Similarly, how the form of a particular form presented to us, the name and the form, also can move our mind, isn't it? The eyes sees a particular form and it gets affected, a bhava develops inside. And that can be ragam or dvesham. One of them has to develop. Either there has to be attachment, it cannot be neutral. It's always like that. That it will definitely create an impression inside that will affect our mind in such a way, either favorably or unfavorably. When it's favorably, it is ragam, and unfavorably, it is dvesham, ragadvesham. So that's why Krishna is saying that unless we develop this neutral relationship with everything in this world, it will create disturbances in the mind. And once that happens, the mind will start running after that. So, Krishna's suggestion is that in order that this speciality has to go from us, to turn the words into relationship with Krishna. So there are so many things in the Bhagavadam which says like this, Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. Or there is also the statement that in Upanishads, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. Why does it say like that? Everything is Krishna. That development, developing that consciousness, everything is Krishna. Sarva Khalidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. Or Ishavasya Upanishad, Ishavasya Idam Sarvam. Everything Krishna's presence in that. To recognize that. That is the first step. So, if we see it like that, that everything is Krishna, in that way, we will see that whatever we see in this world, at any time, if occasionally we remind ourselves that that's also Krishna, in the beginning, it will all look like dead matter. To us. In the beginning, it will look like dead matter. But as and when we feel like that, it's as a dead matter, we must identify that with Krishna somehow. And that is the easiest way not to feel any hate or envy towards anyone, for that matter. So, although it is a human emotions, all these things are emotions, isn't it? So, as and when such bad emotions or bad thoughts comes in, one should practice this process of seeing it as Krishna. In that case, it will not disturb inside. It's not a benefit that that person is going to change. That will not happen. What will happen is we will not get infected by that thought. That's the safeguard. To think of others as they are also Krishna's presence in them. In that way, we will not be infected. So, there are people who have practiced this and perfected it also. And also we have to say this. There was one Pathashala. Pathashala means a school where someone taught Sanskrit to many children. He was also a devotee of Sri Parvati, Devi devotee. So, one of his students mentions once what happened was that this Devi's devotee, Sri Parvati's devotee, he has done a lot of upasana, Devi upasana. Sri Parvati's upasana he has done quite a lot. And in Devi worship also, it's just like we have in the worship, Krishna's worship, we see as Krishna. They have this process of seeing everything as Sri Parvati's presence in everything. That's famous also. Lalita Sahasranamam, everything, if you read through that, you will see Sri Parvati is presented as the absolute truth in that way. So, he worshipped in that form, and he also saw Mother's presence in everything, Sri Parvati's presence in everything. But it so happened that his wife was not so much into that. She always used to get very upset sometimes and get angry with him. And sometimes she was a little bit eccentric in that sense, that lose the control often. So once the student was saying that one day, while he was teaching the students, she was talking something from inside very loudly and probably cursing him or criticizing him or something. She was talking from inside very strong language. But he was not hearing anything. He was absorbed in the teaching. But suddenly, she came to the classroom with a knife in the hand. You know, a big knife which you use for cutting jackfruits or coconuts or things like that. It's much a big one. So when he saw that her coming in like that, he was not shaken by that. Rather, he recited a verse which is glorifying Sri Parvati nicely. The verse is, Ashtau bhujangim maheshasya mardinim sasanga chakram sharashula dharinim. Then, tambhiv vayogim sahajada vedasam durga sada sharanam aham pravadye. Then, apparently what he saw in her at that time, because he has practiced this all along in his life, that even though she appeared in that way, he saw her, Sri Parvati, standing in front of me. In such a way, he could relate that with her. So therefore, there was no hard feelings inside. And on the other hand, she immediately, that because of his good thoughts inside, she also calmed down straight away. Of course, that's a very advanced stage, but somebody can change someone in that way by seeing in him the good qualities. Just like they say, that when someone comes with bad feelings, bad vibrations, how that affects us. If your feelings are so good, it will go back to them and they will cool down. That's of course in a very advanced state. But normally what happens, we get affected immediately by the person's emotions, isn't it? It will affect us straight away. So, it was not, he said that that lady has so much anger at that moment. The whole anger went away when he started reciting this verse to her. That is this famous verse, Ashtau bhujangim maheshasya mardinim. It is 800 form of Sri Parvati as Mahishasura mardini, killing this demon Mahisha. Sashanga chakram sharashula dharinim. That she has got this 8 hands, 8 different kinds of weapons. and tam divyayonim yogim sahajada vedasam. That divine form of that Shri Parvati, at that form, Durgam Sadam Sharanamaham Prapadye, I take shelter of Shri Parvati. Like that he spoke, and immediately it all subsided and came to a peaceful state. So, instead of feeling hate towards anyone, he was able to create that good feelings for to anybody, and always able to see the presence of, like in that case, Sri Bhagavad's case, but presence of Krishna in everyone. In that case, we can come to that understanding. It is possible to avoid ragam, dvesham, attachment and aversion. That's the only way it can be done. That's what Krishna is saying. Without doing that, otherwise raga dvesham will develop, and once raga dvesham develop, mind will move, and immediately there will be disturbances. So here there's a question that if Krishna is always beautiful and always in the sattvikam worship, that means the worship in the mood of goodness, then how will it affect us? What is opposite to that? How will the other things will affect us? What is opposite? For example, when you see Krishna's beautiful form as the cowherd boy or a Parthasarathi form, whichever form, it is Krishna's beautiful forms, that is attractive form, isn't it? And that is in the mood of goodness, sattvikam it is. So, what will happen if we see something which is not sattvic, say rajasic or tamasic form? In that case, what will happen? There also, Krishna's point is there, that the in all forms, in rajas and tamasam form also Krishna can appear. It's not that Krishna can only appear in sattvika form. Krishna can appear in a form which is not very pleasing to us. That also we have to recognize when a form comes up like that. We shouldn't think that, oh, I will only see Krishna and everything doesn't mean. Suppose there is something rajasic or tamasic, for example, like you see somebody who is not at all giving you any sattvika feelings or rajasic or tamasic feelings. Still, they say we should see Krishna there, because that is also Krishna's form. It's not that only the four-handed form of Vishnu or two-handed form with the flute in the hand is Krishna's form. The other form is also is Krishna's form. That way we have to see it. Why is that? Reason for that is when Arjuna saw Krishna in the battlefield, if you look into the universal form of Krishna, there is a verse there, Akhyahimego Bhavan Ugrarupa Namostude Deva Vara Prasidam. When it says that Namostude Deva Vijnyadu Michami Bhavanda Madhyam Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravartim. So when Arjuna saw Krishna in that way, Arjuna didn't say, this is not your form, this is not your actual form. He said, no, this is also you who have come in front of me in this way. Akhyahimego Bhavan Ugrarupam Namostude, and then he paid his obeisances to that form. So you can see Arjuna has understood that secret, that whichever form comes in front of me, I'll see that as Krishna's form. By seeing it that way, we will see Krishna's presence in everything. What you like in your mind is one thing, that you like a particular form, that's one thing. But when other forms comes in front of us, we shouldn't reject that, thinking that, oh, this I won't want to see, this is not for my want, this is not Krishna. You can't reject it like that. Akhyahimego Bhavan Ugra Rupa Namostude Deva Vara Prasida Vijnyadu Michami Bhavandam Adhyam Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravartim. We don't understand you, we don't understand your activities. This is what Arjuna said to Krishna. Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravartim. Your activities are unknown to us, how, what you will do. If you don't do like that, then we will have to create another thing called Saturn. Because Saturn exists in all other religions, isn't it? They call Saturn devil and all that. For us, there is no Saturn. Saturn doesn't exist in the Vedic philosophy. In philosophy, there's only Krishna. Krishna exists, Krishna can take any form. whichever they want. Otherwise, we'll have to create that Saturn. And once you do that, then there will be duality again. It will create duality inside. That means that means once the duality happens, we will start ragam dvesham will come inside. Ragam dvesham will come inside. If we see that the ugrarupam, horrible form, ugra means very fiery form or frightening form of Krishna, is also Krishna, then it won't disturb us. It won't disturb us. Therefore, once you start hating that form, then it will create problem. Because you will hate that form if you think that it is not Krishna. That's what will happen, isn't it? Because we have conditioned our mind in that way that Krishna is only in a particular form. Other forms cannot happen. If you take it like that, then we will develop this conditioning inside. When you see some other form, you will start thinking that it's not Krishna, and you'll develop a hate inside. Raga dvesham will come from that. In whatever form, whatever form, and in whatever bhavam or whatever mood, if you can see Krishna like that, that is the best. That's the best. Narayana Kavacham, what we spoke yesterday, the definition is like that. Narayana Kavacham is just not chanting the mantra alone. Narayana Kavacham is developing this mood inside, in a person, to see in everything Krishna's presence, and in every form as Krishna. That is the key in Narayana Kavacham. Because if the inside is peaceful, and if you don't want anything else to get inside, raga dvesham must go from inside. Ragam and dvesham must go from inside. If you see any object in this world with ragam, if you look at it with attachment, immediately the weapon goes inside. The arrow shoots inside. And normally you remember we say in Bhagavatam, you will see this word used, the cupid arrow from the cupid, isn't it? Cupid's arrow. So this arrow is not only for the cupid. All other emotions have got arrows. In the Bhagavatam, while discussing that, it is a particular instance for kamam. Kamadeva is referred to as the cupid, and he has got his own arrows. But similarly, envy, jealousy, anger, they all have arrows, and these arrows will come firing at us. So, dvesham and hate, and this will all move the mind, affect the mind. If it does not happen, then the differences between different emotions also has to go. That kamam, krodham, envy, although they come out different, originally they come from one source. That if you remember, then it is easy to give them up. You see, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, where is it all originating from? Only one source, false ego, ahankaram. It's coming from ahankaram. If we understand this subtle side of that, then we will know that every emotions is harming us. All these emotions, bad emotions, is harming us in one way or the other. All their origin is from the false ego. So, in vyavaharam, when we deal with this world, different emotions comes up all the time, isn't it? Envy, hate, jealousy, and similarly anger, lust, greed. These are all different emotions. But we classify them separately, thinking that one is better than the other. Or we say to others that, I was affected by... Sometimes we say like that, isn't it? I'm getting angry now, we say. So we have complete control on the whole situations. So we will make these statements thinking that, only one way I'm falling. But you are actually falling down as soon as any such emotions develops inside. Then doesn't matter which one it is. They're all the same. Because the source is coming from one. That is ahankaram. False ego is the source from all these are originating. So, as long as we have false ego, these emotions will come in us. It is not possible to stop that. This is why the solution to the problem, real solution to the problem is to keep always the attention not on the false ego, the jivatvam, rather on the spiritual identity of the soul. If we do that and constantly keep it in focused on that, then this the emotions also won't become a normal thing for us. It will go away from us. We don't need these emotions. Emotions are only a disturbances in the mind, like the doubts. These emotions are also disturbances in the mind, like the doubts. It doesn't help anything more than that. So, in that way, Krishna's point is that if you know where it's coming from, then you can check it. It is possible to practice that. So, so people have practiced this, and there is no other alternative except to do this. By knowing all these things, one may wonder, how can we do all these things? The question is that, if you know it, at least you know it, that where it's coming from. And you will be able to come to terms with it. But when you know, people ask this question, how to control the anger. But once you know where the source is from, so the source has to be controlled. And that's the only way it can be done. Once a devotee was walking along a street, and he had one disciple with him. Sannyasi was very advanced. The disciple wasn't. So they were walking along a street, and there was one woman coming from opposite side. And in that village, that she had a little bad reputation, that she was not properly dealing with others, and all kinds of things was there. So the disciple thought, in order to protect his spiritual master or the sannyasi, he says to her, instead of we going this route, we'll go through the other route so that we don't have to. She was coming from the opposite direction. So the sannyasi, that lady who was coming from the opposite side, she was actually, although she had this reputation, she was very much devoted to this sannyasi. She respected him very much. And sannyasi also, because he had that higher understanding, didn't want to see her in that way anytime. Because his point was that if I see her with a bad eye or with a bad thought in my mind, what will happen is nothing will happen to her. I will develop that bad thoughts in my mind. Or it will only affect me, not her, so much. Rather, he was very much conscious of this fact. And therefore, when he dealt with her also, he saw her as Sita Devi. Sita Devi's presence in her. Like this divinity you are imposing on someone, whether it exists or not is another thing. But we impose divinity on someone and escape from the bad feelings that may generate or bad thoughts that may generate in us. So this was the process he has followed. So the sannyasi didn't agree with the disciple that he should change the route. They proceeded further, and when they got closer, the lady paid her obeisances to the sannyasi, and sannyasi also paid his respects to her, and they walked on. So the disciple says to the sannyasi that she has a bad reputation, and it wasn't proper for us to talk to her. That is why I was suggesting to go through the other route. So sannyasi answered him in this way. Sannyasi says to him that if you start rejecting everyone on the basis of bad reputation, or it will not harm them, they will carry on in this world, it is not going to change. It only the damage is for yourself. So, not to reject anyone is also another important thing. Sannyasi's instruction was like that. He said that if you start thinking in that way, that by avoiding you will save the problem in this world, it will not happen. You have to look at them in that way, that when he says to her, when I saw her, it reminded me of Sita Devi. By seeing that way, that if I keep saying she is wretched, what will happen is I will create that wretched person in me. That's how that realization was. And at least temporarily, I have become wretched by doing that. So therefore, all the yogis, they protect their consciousness in this way. What outsiders, let them be anyone, whatever they may be, they will be. That you can't do anything about it. The answer is like this. If you are walking through a forest, even if there is so much thorns there, if you put shoes on, then you are covered, you are protected. You don't have to worry about it if you have proper shoes on. So similarly, in material world, there will be so many dualities, so many people with so many different emotions, and so many people will present in front of you in so many different ways if you allow that to happen. But on the other hand, if you protect yourself, this understanding from Krishna's instructions of ragadvesham, that's why ragadvesham is important thing, that how not to allow the mind to develop ragam and dvesham. That is our concern. We are not concerned how others are acting in this world or how others are, rather than becoming judgmental on them, it's better to change our way of thinking. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is spoken very explicitly. Yadha yadalma parimarjade so mal punyakada sharvanabhidhane tadha tadha pasyadi vastu sushmam chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. Shri Krishna Bhagavan says this. Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavatam like this. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, yadha yadalma parimarjade so mal punyakada sharvanabhidhane. As and when you are coming into contact with something which is affecting you, mal punyakada sharvanabhidhane, you must remember about Krishna's glories, punyakada, and singing about Krishna's glories. If you do like that, or remember Krishna in that form, tatha tatha pasyadi vastu sushmam, you will see in that person the sushmam, the subtle thing of that person. What is that? That is Krishna. Whether it is a prostitute or a drunkard or a fiery kshatriya or a pious brahmana or a greedy vaishya or a servant shudra, in all these things the spiritual spark is the same. Spiritual spark is the same. There is no difference at all. These manifestations of qualities is in relationship with the body, mind, false ego and senses. Nothing to do with the soul. So one who is trying to advance on the spiritual path, he always has to rise above these things and stay on that spiritual consciousness. That is Krishna's point. Yatha yadalma parimrujyade sau mal punyakada shravanabhidane tatha tatha pasyadi. Then what will happen? Tatha tatha pasyadi. He will start seeing vastu sushmam. Sushma vastu. What is that sushma vastu? Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart. That is the sushmam. The sthulam is the gross body. So, Krishna is taking us out from the sthulam to the sushmam. Tatha tatha pasyadi vastu sushmam. How? Chakshuddhi vai anjana samprayuktam. Just like when you have cataract, treatment in Ayurveda is that you have a cream-like thing which you put in your eye, and constant application of that over a long period of time, it will cure cataract. That is the system. But now we have cataract operation, so it's done in a quickly. But Ayurveda has also got a medicine for cataract, but over a long period of time it takes to apply that. And ever since this operation started, that went into that's not anymore in practice very much. So Chakshuddivai Anjana Samprayuktam. Krishna is saying there, just like when you apply that cream in the inside Anjanam, Chakshus, the eyes will start seeing clearer. The vision will become free from any kind of blur or vision in the blur in the vision, and will become clearer. So similarly, Krishna says, if you apply this principle of seeing that sushma vastu in everyone, eventually inside our vision will become clearer. In other words, our relationship with the world will change. We won't feel this ill feelings or any kind of ragam or dvesham, both. Not that ill feelings in the sense, not bad feelings, even the good feelings, which will create attachment to anything else, that will also go. So, this is the principle, what Krishna has spoken, how to deal with ragam and dvesham. And Krishna says these things come from the mercy, Krishna's mercy or spiritual master's mercy. So, if you see like that, you can see that the whole creation is Krishna. Whole creation is Krishna. Nothing else in this world. If you start seeing like that, these four things, Krishna says, will disappear. So far we spoke about two, Ragadvesham. There is two more things, which is Kartratvam and Bhoktratvam. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. These four things together, put together, is the world. Ragam, Dvesham, Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam. If these four things disappears from us, we are liberated, finished. Then there is no more material existence. Material existence is over. This is the second chapter's conclusion. Now we are coming to closer to the second chapter, finish. We are almost 65. So, in the next few verses, Krishna has only got to speak about these four things. Ragadvesham, Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam. And if these four things we have escaped from these four, Krishna says you are in Brahmi Sthiti. You are situated on that perfect platform. No more falling from that. So you can see, when we talk about purification, isn't it? We all say, I have to get myself purified. Purified from what? This is what that this purification is all about. Purification is not that I bathe in the Ganga river, I bathe in the Yamuna river, and I ate a lot of prasadam, so I'm purified. No. When you are purified, these four things, ragam, dvesham, kartratvam, bhoktratvam, these four things, Krishna says there, that that these four things, that is what is material world. What is material world? These four things together, joined together, creates dvaitam, duality in material nature. You remember? We talked about duality, isn't it? In everything, finding something is good and something is bad. Something is is happy, something is distress. Boy, girl, man, woman, dark and day and night, heat and cold. All these are dualities. And these dualities are nothing but coming from these four things. These four things. That is why these four things are to be taken very seriously. Ragadvesham, Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam. Ragadvesham we have seen. Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam, as you know, what it means is that in everything, in what we are the doers, isn't it? Which is also the source is Ahangaram, false ego. And Bhoktratvam also, where is it coming from? Again, false ego. So, the importance of getting rid of false ego, you can see. If the false ego goes, all these four will go. And as long as the false ego is there, these four things will be there. These are all qualities attributed to the jiva. In that sense, it is from the jiva consciousness that this is concerned. Now, out of these four, there are you have to categorize them, these four things. Ragadvesham and Kartratva Bhoktratvam. Two things happens in us. And two things happen from the world. If you look at it carefully, you can see that what is happening inside me is Kartratvam Bhoktratvam, isn't it? Nobody else is responsible for that, is it? It's me who is doing it. Outside world is not causing that problem. I have created within me from false ego. So when you look at false ego, you can see Kartratvam and Bhoktratvam I have created. Ragadvesham was created from the outside, from the world outside. You see that point? That out of these four things, Ragadvesham, Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam, these are the subtle side of it. Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam is happening inside me. Nobody is telling me that you are responsible or anything. Even without that, I've taken the responsibility already. Isn't it? I'm the doer. Everything happens according to my plan, my desires and my understanding. And this is very subtle level. It is operating in all of us, isn't it? At all stages. So, Krishna's point is that Kartratvam and Bhoktratvam, they are happening within you. Ragadvesham is coming from outside. Because when you see an object, only that Ragam Dvesham comes up. Or when you deal with another person, Ragadvesham will come up. So, partly, the external object is also responsible for that. It's not only you. The object is also responsible. But Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam, nobody else is responsible. It is right inside, coming from within. So, if it when it is like that, Ragadvesham, because we like some people, so therefore Ragam. Suppose we don't like somebody, we hate someone, therefore dvesham. So, this something what one has to work with oneself. How to avoid kartratvam, bhoktratvam, because it's not an external source, it's internal thing. It's a internal thing. Suppose I've done something nicely and somebody says to me, oh, you have done it well, you've done it very well. And immediately inside ego comes, isn't it? And says to you that, I've done it, isn't it? Or suppose I've done something not very well and somebody mentioned to me that it wasn't very good what you said, or it wasn't very nice what you spoke. Then I'll think, oh, I did the wrong thing. I shouldn't have spoken like that. Tomorrow I'll try to do it better, or something like that will come from me. So both are bad, Krishna says. When somebody says to you, or even somebody don't says to you, inside that thought should not develop inside, I've done it well. Nor that thought should develop that I've done it badly. So how careful we have to be. Only if this attitude is there, he says, kartratvam won't develop. Kartratvam won't develop. So, just like if somebody says it was good, three or four people says to you it was quite good, then you feel the ahangaram, false ego, will get stronger. And on the other hand, if somebody says it was not so good, then you feel also a little disturbances inside. So, these four things are the obstacles in the path of yoga. In the path of yoga. These four things are the obstacles in the path of yoga. Suppose you have not heard Bhagavad Gita at all. You haven't heard Bhagavad Gita at all. If you have managed to get these four things under control, you don't need Bhagavad Gita after that. Even if you have not heard Bhagavad Gita, if these four things, you have, by whatever process you do it, doesn't matter. Whatever process, suppose you develop your own technique of how to handle the situation, and you manage to escape from these four things, raga dvesham, kartratvam, bhoktratvam, Krishna is saying you don't even need Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's purpose is already done with that. That then peace will happen inside, because peace will happen if these four things have happened. So when you are, vyavaharam comes in this world, attachment and aversion will develop inside, and doership or enjoyership will also happen inside. People think also how we can avoid this in vyavaharam. In vyavaharam, how we can free ourselves from this problem. The easiest thing is to minimize vyavaharam. The moment you get into vyavaharam, no matter who it is, you will burn your fingers. Do you understand what I'm saying, isn't it? Vyavaharam means transactions in this world with material nature. So as long as we have to deal with material nature, you should know very well inside that there will be setbacks. There will be you will have to burn your fingers. There's no doubt about that. No matter who it is. No matter who it is. Even Srila Prabhupada had to burn his fingers sometimes. You remember that court case in Mumbai with the temple land and all that. Huh? And so many cases like that. He also had to go through difficult times, in the sense that vyavaharam is Maya's control. It is in Maya's world. She is more powerful than all of us, anyone in this world. So she creates, she runs that, sets it up in a particular way, that the moment you start dealing with that, vyavaharam starts, Maya will come back with some problems, or it will create some vibrations inside to disturb that peace inside a person. The peace inside will be disturbed. So that is going to happen. So, so that is why the definition of this world is based on these four things. These four things, it constitutes this world. What is that? Ragadvesha kartratva bhoktratva rupam jagat. Material world means these four things only. Ragadvesha kartratva bhoktratvam jagat. Acharya Swamiji says this in the commentary on Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad's commentary Acharya Swamiji's definition of Jagat is like this. Raga Dvesha Kartratva Bhoktratvam Jagat. He says like that and leaves it there. So if you want to understand this world, if you understand it this way, this world is nothing but Ragam Dvesham Kartratvam Bhoktratvam. If these four things are taken away, then this world doesn't exist for us. It is so simple. But because we forget it, we go back to our material consciousness with body, mind and intelligence and false ego. These four things are forgotten. These four things remains as theory for us then. Isn't it? Once it becomes practice, from Acharya's point of view, they will only speak the subtle side of life. They don't want to talk to us about the gross side of life. Gross side we already know more than them. So they don't have to tell us about the grosser side of life. They will tell us the subtle side of life. Subtle side of life is this, that material world is these four things. Ragadvesha kartratva bhoktratvam idam jagat, he says. Ishopanishad commentary begins with this. Jagat's definition. Ishavasam idam sarvam tena taktena bhangjida magrada kasasiddhanam. Isn't it? So, jagat is world is for a person who is reflecting inside and who is thoughtful, for him this is important. For him this is important. If you think that material world you can correct and change and everything, that is a misunderstanding. Changes must happen inside, not outside. That is why internal looking, going inward looking and making the corrections inside, and then you will see that the relationship with the world will change. And world will become peaceful for us. Disturbances come when we start, through vyavaharam, we trying to change the world. That won't happen. Day by day it gets worse only. Isn't it? In spite of so much improvement we are trying to do with this world, day by day it's getting worse. And we get more depressed after all the work we have put into it to change this world. It hasn't happened. So that will not happen also. That is what Krishna's point. Imagine Krishna himself says this. I have tried to change this world, doesn't change, he says. At one point in the 7th chapter, if you look at Ekadasi Skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava, as soon as I leave this planet, things will get worse. That's how Krishna puts it. He says it's not going to better. Nor he admits that it has gone better. He says, only thing what will happen is when I leave, it will get worse, he says. He didn't say that it has got better because I have come here. He didn't say that to Uddhava. How he puts it to Uddhava is, Uddhava, as soon as I leave this world, it will get worse. In other words, Krishna also says, this is a worse place. There's nothing you can do about it here. And as you can see yourself at the very end of Krishna's time in this world, the whole family he has brought up, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, a family which is over nearly a million people, the family was so big. What happened? All of them fighting each other at the end. Isn't it? They all fought each other in Prabhasam and killed themselves, and Krishna was standing there and laughing at the whole scene. What was going on? That's Krishna. So, from there you can see how Krishna is seeing this world, isn't it? Krishna is seeing this world as a place, nothing more than that. He's not giving so much importance that this place is going to change and get better. And so many reformers and religious leaders, they had come, tried to change this world. Has it changed? It's got worse actually. Nothing has happened. When they are present in this world, some people will take advantage of their presence and benefit themselves from that. That's all you can do. When they are present in this world, you can take advantage of their presence and understand the higher understanding of life. You can benefit from their association. And after that, once they disappear, the whole thing goes away. Do not expect that it will get better after that. When they leave, everything will go to the in the opposite direction. It will start deteriorating day by day. And it is possible sometimes someone may come and rejuvenate the whole thing or give life to it, but it may not happen. That depends. But the important point is this. The material world, nobody tries to think that one day it will get better and I will have a happy time here. That's not going to happen. Because Ragadvesham, Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam is a very strong qualities in this world. Two of them coming out naturally from within us, and two of them present from the world outside. So, the purpose of all these, the process, is to remove these four things from inside. And when we say this world, right, this is important thing. When we look at this world, how do we see this world? We see this world in the form of oceans, mountains, buildings, and different material elements, and stone, and rubbles, and things like that. This is how we perceive this world, isn't it? Acharyas don't see the world like that. They only see the world, Ragam, Dvesham, Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, Idam Jagat. For them, world is over with that. In their world, only these four things exist. None of the material elements, what we are seeing in this world, don't exist for them. That's not the world they are looking at. They are looking at the world, this subtle world, that's operating within this gross world. That's what they see. Because the gross world is, we are perceiving because of our gross nature. We are not moved onto the subtle world. We are operating in the gross world. Therefore, we will remain in the gross world without knowing about the subtle thing behind it. The gross world does not actually cause any problem to us. That also we have to recognize. It is not the gross world that is affecting us. It is the subtle world that is affecting us. Namely, Raga Dvesham Kartrutvam Bhoktrutvam. That is the point he is making. So, all these four things are coming from false ego. Isn't it? All these things are coming from false ego. So, if the false ego goes completely, then Krishna is present in front of us. Krishna is present in front of us. So, how to get rid of this false ego? That is the main issue. How to get rid of this false ego from inside? Actually, as the name itself indicates, it's a false thing. Isn't it? It's a misunderstanding. This false ego is a misunderstanding. And when that misunderstanding is very strong inside, we become, the false ego grows very strongly. That means, first thing is that I have identified myself as someone separately from Krishna. Someone separately from Krishna. I am individual, completely separately from Krishna, always under the conditions of the modes of nature. That develops in us very strongly. That bodham, that consciousness in that way. So this is a kind of brahmam. Brahma means a kind of misunderstanding, what has happened inside. And if you keep on inquiring this, who is this I'm talking about? Me. I'm all the time talking about this me. Who is this me? You will immediately see that this false ego that is inside will go, gets and dissolved in the soul. It's finished there. Then there is no more false ego after that. That's why it is not done, remember this, it's not done in intellectual level. It's not done on a mental level either. This shifting the attention from false ego to the soul is not done on an intellectual platform nor on a mental platform. All what we have to do is to constantly identify ourselves with the soul. In other words, in our own consciousness, if we are understood all these things, what we have seen in Bhagavad Gita, what we have discussed, and just by remembering about the soul, we will come to understand that this false ego doesn't exist. Because two things cannot exist at the same time. Both false ego and Krishna, or the soul, cannot exist in us same time. It is only because we have forgotten that Krishna's presence inside, the soul's presence inside, this false ego has grown up inside. And we identified with it all the way through in life, and that we have become that. The moment we start practicing that I am not this false ego, I am Krishna's part and parcel, or so soul, as we identify with that, which is Krishna's presence in us, then false ego will immediately disappear. Then if it is constantly kept inside, that thought, and it is all the time we are conscious of that, you will notice that the false ego doesn't come into action. You will not be able to do anything. And these four things also will go away from us. Because we have missed that very much so, that we are feeling this difficulty. So this is the easiest process. That constantly remembering dhyanam, that meditation, move on to from false ego to the soul. So this can be understood easily, that in a different way it is explained here, that by Krishna's mercy and by the mercy of the spiritual master or the realized soul, this false ego will die away. It will go away. And another way of getting rid of this, one way is to practice it on a regular basis. As long as, that is why we have to reduce the vyavaharam. We are saying that vyavaharam should be brought to the minimum. And when the vyavaharam is minimized, you get enough time to keep this attention on the soul, isn't it? Initially, I'm saying. But in a advanced state, when your attention on the soul is total, then even if you conduct vyavaharam, it won't cause any problem. Because vyavaharam, what happens? It creates ragadvesham, isn't it? It also creates kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. That's all vyavaharam does. The danger from vyavaharam is this. That's why we are frightened of vyavaharam, isn't it? Why we don't want to do much vyavaharam? Because it creates disturbances inside. Ragadvesham, kartrutva bhoktrutvam. So initially, Krishna's point is, minimize it as much as possible and get yourself fixed up on the soul inside. Once that has happened, you have got yourself freed from the effect of false ego, then if you do vyavaharam, it won't disturb you. And all the realized souls have acted in that way in this world. They have no false ego. You can look at anyone. They will not have any false ego inside. That's why they were able to conduct their vyavaharam for as many hours as necessary in a day. They don't get exhausted, nor do they get affected by what has happened in their vyavaharam. That is depends on their spiritual strength. Vyavaharam will definitely burn, but it won't affect you at that point, if this understanding is stronger inside. The another place where the false ego will go is in the presence of a realized soul. Ahankaram will automatically go away. As I mentioned, questions come. From false ego only these questions are coming. But when you are in an association of a realized personality, realized soul, this ahankaram will automatically, it will go away. It will go away. So, presence of great souls, it will happen. So, satsangam also, what we are trying to practice is the same thing. That constantly hearing about Krishna means Krishna's presence in that way. So, hearing about Krishna and recognizing Krishna as the absolute truth, supreme personality of Godhead, if you constantly keep on listening to this and hearing about that, our ahankaram goes. False ego goes away from inside. So, and Krishna's presence is recognized in that way. Whichever way it happens, it doesn't matter. If it happens inside, this bodham or this experience inside, if it happens and if it starts taking clarity inside, if it becomes clear inside, however powerful the sense objects are, you will be able to see them that they are not the truth. They are not the truth. Very, very powerful sense enjoyment will immediately melt in front of that realization. Immediately melt away in front of that realization. That is a beautiful stage in the yoga system. That when one comes to experiences that realization, and how when he has to deal with sense enjoying objects, sense objects, how the senses automatically, through the power of knowledge that's coming from the soul, without being guided by the soul, in a natural way, we draw from the sense gratification. And that is what Krishna is saying, that you will start seeing all these objects today in our conditioned states, what we think as meant for sense gratification, will never be anymore an object of sense gratification. Yeah. You see, these things, we take it for granted, certain things are meant for sense gratification. Why? We have developed asakti, isn't it? Asakti means attachment to that. Developed somehow. Due to constantly enjoying the senses, we have become weak ourselves and we have accepted that as an object of sense enjoyment. But Krishna's point is, if when you have sufficiently made progress in this path, in this yoga path, the eventual situation will be that the knowledge of the soul becomes stronger inside. Automatically the senses will not get that desire to enjoy the senses. It will withdraw itself in a natural way from the senses. It will conduct all the vyavaharam. It will conduct all its dealings with this world, but it will not take it inside and start meditating on that. Vyavaharam becomes harmful only if it creates thought inside and dhyanam starts inside, isn't it? If meditation starts inside. So remember, I was mentioning this to you. Some great devotees, they had some terrible weaknesses for sense enjoyment. They were devotees, and they were, some of them were jnanis also, but they had sense gratification. But what was happening to them was that although they had sense gratification, it did not go inside and become a cause of meditation later. It didn't become a cause of meditation. So if we also are able to do that, then even sense gratification won't disturb us at that point. First thing, when in why it happens, let me explain that. Some people, they have progressed in a natural way. Yeah, they have progressed in a natural way in spiritual sadhana process, realization, knowledge, spiritual master's mercy, Krishna's mercy, they have received, and they have gone through that step by step and reached that stage. Some people, it is very difficult to classify a person in a particular way. It is very difficult. Because all of us have some strong vasanas inside. And that vasanas, we don't know what they are. Only the person will know what his vasanas are or her vasanas are inside. Isn't it? The person will know. So, when it is like that, the vasanas have waiting for an opportunity to come out. On the other hand, the person has cultivated Krishna consciousness, spiritual life. He has practiced it. Vasana has now gone away completely. So sometimes the power of devotion or the power of knowledge will be very high in that person. And because of that, automatically when you see him, you feel very respectful towards him because of his advanced state of love for Krishna. Seeing him 24 hours absorbed in Krishna consciousness and seeing him all the time and no interest in the material world. In such a way, he has withdrawn from everything and he has developed his spiritual life in a beautiful way that automatically people are attracted to his spiritual qualities. But then suddenly you see that person goes and does something which you would not never expected from him. He goes and does something. Why does that happen? Because some vasana inside him was driving him in that direction. And he has not succeeded in getting rid of that. Yes, it hasn't happened to him yet. So when that situation happens, even though he may be very devotional and in his practice he'll be very committed in Krishna consciousness, there were personalities like that who were extremely advanced spiritually, and even Ekadasha Skandam they have realized to a high degree, but they had tremendous weakness for some sense gratification. And this becomes confusing to ordinary people when this happens, isn't it? But if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, you will get rid of this doubt, why it happens. Remember in the 6th canto, King Chitragedu had this mercy from Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi gave him this mantra and told him to chant that mantra for 7 consecutive days. 7 days and 7 nights. And he told Chitrakedu that after that, you will go to the spiritual world and meet Krishna there. So he got this mantra, 7 days he chanted, day and night. On the seventh night, he reached the Vaikuntha Lokam. He got there into Vaikuntha planet. He met Lord Sankarshan there. And Sankarshana Murthy, he glorified Sankarshana Murthy. Sankarshanamurti gave him also the mercy. Upadesham was given to him. And then he comes as a Vidyadhara form and starts traveling all over. Imagine he has gone and met Lord Balaram there, comes back, and then he is making this journey all over the universe, he is traveling. And he is in that process, he reaches Ilavratham, where Lord Shiva lives with Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati was sitting on Lord Shiva's lap, and seeing that, this old vasana from inside came out suddenly and started saying, "What is this?" he says. "Is this Lord Shiva you are talking about? I thought that he was much more civilized than this. Look at this, what he's doing here." All these things came out. Why? Can you imagine? He has met Lord Balaram and has come back, and such a remark to come from inside, that pragradam, or the basic nature from him inside, that vasana spilled out at that point from him. So this has not only happened in Chitragedu, it has happened in many people's life. That is why we shouldn't get thinking that, if it is a self-realized soul, he can't commit any mistakes. No, we can't say that. If he has some vasanas inside, it may come out sometimes. It may come out sometimes. You can't do anything about it. That vasana will go one day. Eventually, vasana kshayam will happen. And that vasana will go one day. But there is some prarabdham that vasana has to come out like this, in this and that very life. So, that is why, iragadvesham kartrutvam bhoktrutvam, that vyoharam will be there. There is no harm in that. But what's good about that is, when that happens, when such an incident happens, that will not create any ragadvesham inside for them. You see the point? That for us, if we engage in sense gratification, it's more damaging to us, isn't it? It's much more, creates more vasanas inside, more ragadvesham will create inside. This way it keep on increasing. For them, although they may on a gross level engage in that activity, it will not create any disturbances inside. That much they have secured themselves from that state. So all these subtleties are there in their life, which we have to know. Otherwise, what will happen is that you will read Bhagavatam and sometimes you will make some gross... That's why many people have a lot of difficulty about the gopis and Krishna's relationship, because they don't understand things properly. They're only seeing, using their own judgment in their own morals and their own way they are judging. Between Krishna and gopis, gopis had problems. Krishna had no problems. And due to Krishna's association, gopis also become pure. This is what has happened, isn't it? We have to study rasa dance very critically. And if you understand each and every verse properly, these doubts will go about criticism of Krishna for rasa dance. But mundane people who have not studied Shastram, who have not understood these subtle aspects of spiritual life, they'll come and they'll say that, Krishna's relationship with gopis, Krishna's relationship with Radharani, they will question all that things. And they will say, so therefore some people say, between Krishna and Ramchandra, I'll choose Ramchandra because he has acted properly. As though they know what is proper and what's not proper. So this is how they come to this kind of foolish understanding. That they have to know many things. Before we start talking about Ramchandra and Krishna, we have to know what is actually their state. Unless we know that, what point in... They're thinking they are like us. And we start making comments about them. That's mistake. That's a great mistake. Because our mind is only so grown, so little, it has got this tendency to belittle everybody else in the same way. Without knowing who is Krishna, without knowing Ramachandra, what's their level of consciousness they're operating from, we don't have any idea. And then we start making these comparisons and start making wrong judgments about their dealings in this world. So this is the important thing, that the ragadvesham kartrutva bhoktrutvam doesn't exist in Krishna, Ramachandra or anybody. Or those realized means they are always in that state of consciousness. Whereas we have got all these things and we are discussing these, and on that level we are judging all these things. So, But is it possible to stop Vyavaharam? That's also not possible, isn't it? How can we stop Vyavaharam completely? Vyavaharam is always going on. Vyavaharam means, actually what it means is not only dealing with other people or dealing with other... Vyavaharam means, as soon as you engage your five senses in action, its Vyavaharam has started. The five senses of Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham, the five senses of knowledge and the five senses of action, as long as they are in operation, Vyavaharam has started, isn't it? Vyavaharam is not only doing business outside or going to work or running the family. That is a gross level Vyavaharam. But strictly speaking, Vyavaharam begins as soon as the senses are in operation. And senses are always in operation. You can't stop that, isn't it? Can you stop breathing? You are breathing. Vyavaharam is going on. You are eating food. Vyavaharam is going on. You are hearing different sounds. Vyavaharam is going on. So Vyavaharam, you cannot stop. Then, but as much as we minimize Vyavaharam, it is good. Certain Vyavaharam we can't avoid at all. Then the trouble with Vyavaharam is that some Vyavaharam goes on in the body without our knowledge even, isn't it? Like breathing, for example, and digestion inside, and walking, when we have to walk, move from place to place, or we do things with the hands, these things, Vyavaharam is going on, we won't be too much conscious about it. But certain other Vyavaharam, it creates a Sangam. Sangam means attachment, isn't it? Connection with something else. So it creates a Sangam at that point. So if there is no Sangam, Krishna has mentioned earlier, there won't be any Kamam, isn't it? Sangal Sanjayade Kamam, isn't it? Krishna says that before, isn't it? That in the earlier verses, he said, Sangal Sanjayade Kamam Kamal Krodhobi Jayade Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsam Sangaste Shubha Jayade Sangal Sanjayade Kamam. So as long as Sangam, Sangam means that attachment, Sangam means that connection, doesn't develop inside, we are safe from that. So if doesn't happen, then Kamam won't develop. If Kamam doesn't develop, Krodham won't develop. And Kamam, desire, the son of Kamam is Kopam. That's how, father and son it is. Once Kamam develops inside, the son will come later. Kopam will come later. So that's just like this. Suppose Kamam is a desire, isn't it? Suppose I have a desire for something, and if I don't get it, I get angry. Just like if you observe the children, when they ask for an ice cream, if you don't give the ice cream, the desire came for the ice cream. If you don't give the ice cream, they get angry. Why have you not given me the ice cream? That question will come. So similarly, when you are hungry, if you don't get the food, you get angry. Isn't it? So, Krodham, from Krodham, the next step is Samoham. We discussed that also. Krodhal Bhavadi, Samoham. Samohal Smriti Vibhramam. Buddhi. Buddhi make us to think something which is not real as a real thing. Everything is real. So step by step, this darkness will enter inside. And when that happens, the experience of the soul, which is how do we experience the soul? The symptom of the presence of the soul inside is peacefulness. If you are experiencing the soul, it is peacefulness inside. The presence of the soul is felt by consciousness. This is how we have to understand that. The presence of the soul inside the body, the proof is consciousness. The experience of the soul's presence in the body is peacefulness. You see that? Two things. Again, I'll repeat that. The experience of the soul inside the body is in the form of peacefulness. Shanti, as Krishna says later. The presence of the soul in the body is known through consciousness. So those two things. And that happiness, or prasannata as it's called, is, we will lose that when fall down happens. When the mind leaves its external activities and becomes internal, the chalanam, the movement will stop. And the easiest way to stop this movement is to get rid of ragam and dvesham. To get rid of ragam and dvesham. So, in those two verses we have seen, Krishna has spoken some important things, isn't it? What did he say? He said that ragam and dvesham, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam is this world. That is the message from that. That is what this world is all about. Ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. So, if we free ourselves from these four things, our material existence is over. Our material existence is over. When we don't accept all these things and simply we think that at the death I'm just going to go back to Godhead, and with all carrying all this ragadvesham and kartrutva bhoktrutva with us, without getting rid of that, we will be sent back here from there. As soon as we get there, we'll put the return flight back here. We'll have to come back. That's what it means actually. That it is better to go after purified so that you don't have to come back with a proper visa, in other words. Otherwise, if you go there without visa, what will happen? They will put back in the return flight itself. So, the visa is this, that these four things must go from inside. Ragadvesham, kartrutva bhoktrutvam must go from inside. That is why in the second chapter, the conclusion of the second chapter is this, that remove this ragadvesham, kartrutva bhoktrutvam. If you do that, you will come to sthitaprajna state. Automatically, you are a sthitaprajna then. All that personalities like Vidura, Bhishma Pitamaha, Kunti Devi, and Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sukadeva Goswami, they are all sthitaprajnas. And this is that sthitaprajna state. These four things have gone from them. Secondly, in order to get that sthitaprajna state, we have to have that vyavasayatmaya buddhi, which we have discussed before, isn't it? That priority is this, getting this state of consciousness. So, all these things we have seen in the Bhagavad Gita so far. So, Krishna will say, in this now, from now, verse almost 64, from now on, Krishna is going to talk about this, how to remove this raga dvesham from inside. So far he has spoken from outside. He told us before that don't worry about the vasanas you have created, leave them behind. And he told us the way how not to create new ones. So far he has spoken that, isn't it? He explained to us how not to create any more new vasanas. That much he has spoken to us. Now, he is going to say from now on, those what is already inside, how you can release them. How you can get rid of them. And in that process, eventually how we will become released from the effect. So let's look at that next verse. Verse number 64. The two verses we spoke about was 62 and 63. Dhyayado Vishayapam San and 63 was Shrodhal Krodhal Bhavadi Samoham. Those two verses we have seen. Now, how to remove Ragadvesham from inside? That is the verse from now on, 64, 65, 66, 67. Like that it goes. And eventually Krishna will conclude that in 72. So we have now left with 9 verses more in this chapter. I'll read that verse now. Text 64. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu Vishayanindriyascharan Atma vashyer vidheyatma Prasadam adhigacchati Ragadvesha vimuktaistu Vishayanindriyascharan Atma vashyer vidheyatma Prasadam adhigacchati Translation: one who can control his senses by practicing the regulated principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord and thus become free from all attachment and aversion. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashyer vidheyalma prasadam adhigachati. Prasadam adhigachati.
Is it?
So perhaps you could just
Is the verse number 64?
64, but the translation is different.
Because
you've got the original.
Yeah.
Just to mention it so people don't have a completely different verse.
But a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. It's just one of those verses that's been edited.
All right, okay.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
You need to buy a new update of Bible.
No way.
Some new edited. We'll have to gift it to him.
Anyway, okay, as long as we understand what it means, it's enough. Yeah. One who, okay, ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashyer vidheyatma prasadam abhigachari. So, important thing in that verse is prasadam. So, as long as you get prasadam, Krishna is saying you're okay. So, how to get prasadam abhigachani? Let's understand what prasadam means first. So, here, see, vishayan indiyaischaran atmamashir vidheyalma prasadam abhigachani. Before prasadam, one or two things. The, you know these two words, prabhadam and pradosham. What that means, pradosham, these are the juncture. Say, in the evening, the twilight, isn't it? The junction between the day and the night. The sandhya, it's called sandhya. The junction between the day and night. Similarly, the junction in the morning between the night and the day. So, the morning one is called prabhadam and the evening one is called pradosham. Morning one is called prabhadam and evening one is called pradosham. These two times and in the middle of the day, madhyandinam, these are the three times we chant Gayatri, isn't it? So, and they are auspicious times for worship, for spiritual activities. Morning hours and the evening, that junction, sandhya time, and during the middle of the day. All these three times are important. So, this pra-dosham. Dosha means night. Pra-bhadam. Bhadam means day. So, if you, the time just before the morning is called pra-bhadam. The time just before the night is called pra-dosham. It is from this pra, the English word pre has come. Isn't it? We say pre-degree or pre-whatever. Some pre, this pre. So, many of English words, if you look, you will see close connection with the Sanskrit language. And it's amazing that a small change has happened and that relationship with the language has not been lost. In so many places, you will see the same thing. Only thing you have to look into it little carefully. But anyway, prabhadam, pradosham, from that the word has come. So here, In a similar way, why I was saying this was that when you look into your mind, consciously you will analyze, look at your own mind, you will see one thought comes and when after that is gone away, only then the next thought can enter. Isn't it? Two thoughts won't develop inside same time. You will notice one thought comes it goes away and the next thought comes. Do you all agree with that or not? It is like that, isn't it? That and similarly, all emotions also are like that. If you look into the mind, you will see. I'll give you an example. A man was sitting there in front of the house. A beggar came. And he was a young man, the beggar. And he asked for some, you know, he was begging for something. So this householder got angry with him. You such a nice young, able-bodied man. You running around begging for food. He got angry with him, very angry, and told him to go away. Here no beggars come, you don't see anything. But in India it's quite common, isn't it? So beggars coming and householder getting angry with the beggars, all this is quite routine things there, goes on. So anyway, he comes, he got very angry with him because he was not willing, because sometimes people have this understanding that oh, if somebody is strong physically, he should work. And only then he has a right to eat food and live in this world. Otherwise, he's not qualified to have it. So he, and this person, who the householder was sitting there, he believed in that strongly. So he shouted at him to get away from him. He was very angry with him because he was asking for some cash or food, whatever that was. After this anger has happened, his grandson came to see him. Immediately, he picked him up and he was extremely in a blissful mood. The grandchild has come, right? So, first the thought of anger came and then went away. And then the thought of that happiness came when he saw the next sense object, his grandson. Happiness came, the next wave, thought wave came in that way. So, Bhagavatam is saying, just like from the first thought wave to the second thought wave, in the middle of that, Krishna comes to us. Krishna comes to us. Only thing, we haven't taken note of all these things. That is why we don't know about these things. Huh? But Bhagavatam is very insistent on this point. Very particular about this. Who says this? Prahlad Maharaj says in the Saptama Skandam. In the seventh canto, you can read this. Prahlada's statement. Who comes between every thought wave. As I mentioned, one thought comes, it goes away. Only then the second thought comes. But in between the two, there is a small gap. And in that small gap, Krishna comes. And it is Krishna who breaks the first thought from the second thought. It is Krishna coming up and breaking that thought from one to, and who is Krishna? That soul inside, in other words. It is a very subtle aspect of we don't have any mechanism to show this to anybody. We don't know how to prove it to somebody. We have to accept this on the authority of the Shastram and on the authority of the sages who have given us this understanding. That one thought wave comes and goes away. Before the second thought wave, it is Krishna who decides whether that thought wave should go now and the next thought wave should come in. To such an extent, we are controlled. And we are saying we are independent. Imagine that. We think we have independence, isn't it? We have no independence. Strictly speaking, we have practically no independence. Whether to decide about the mind, we have no independence. Intelligence, we have no independence. Senses, we have no independence. Under all situations, we are completely in control. Even including the power of thinking, we are controlled. And still, we say we are independent. This is why these things, when it is understood properly, all you can do is to surrender to Krishna. There's nothing else you can do. That it is Krishna's within side, controlling us all the time, deciding what we should do, what we should not do, whether we should eat, whether the hunger should come, whether the food should get digested, or the blood should circulate, the heart should beat. All decisions are taken by that person inside. Krishna present inside is the soul. But to such an extent, he is controlling us, and in spite of that, we find that difficult to accept it. Oh, I'll make that decision, what we should do. So, similarly, one vritti comes and another vritti goes away. When I say vritti, it is the chitta vritti. So, this time of between one thought to another is something like this day to night that changes. The reason why we are told to worship Krishna at that time, in the morning and in the evening particularly, is it's like this, because at that time Krishna is present in front of us. It is a time we are meant to worship Him. Because of this, from the thought wave, how Krishna appears in between, similarly between day and night also Krishna's presence is stronger for us to worship from the... That is why Sandhya worship in the Sandhya time and in the morning hours from same way is important for spiritual activities. These things were very embedded in the people at one time. They will not do anything else except spiritual activity in the morning and in the evening. Now, morning, breakfast news. Evening, Channel 4 news. This is our life today. Is it not? So, when it is like that, what do we expect? As soon as you get up in the morning, switch on the TV. And then, watching the TV, your breakfast. And then, so morning is gone. The Prabhadam finished there. Evening, come home, eat, watching the TV. Sandhya, Pradosham also gone. So these two timings, Prabhadam and Pradosham, if we make a habit to remember Krishna, it will do a lot of good to us. If we can chant the holy name, morning most of us are doing, but evening hours sometimes we get absorbed in some business. We think, oh, I can't do anything, I've come back from work now, I'm tired, I'm going to sleep, I've got other business, phone calls come, all these things, isn't it? So at least in that, but and another difficulty is in this country, Pradosham can change from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 10 o'clock in the night. Where is the Pradosham there? So, but from the where, when you practice spiritual life, this is also another problem. So which is the Pradosham, if you ask, I don't know what the answer for that is. Pradosham is the time, sometimes there is no Pradosham or Prabhadam either. It's one way from morning to night. So therefore, this part of the world is considered to be not really suitable for spiritual life in that sense. Yeah. That is why it's called Bhogabhumi. This is considered to be Bhogabhumi. It's only for sense enjoyment. This tract of land is for sense enjoyment. It's called Bhogabhumi. And Karmabhumi, Bharatavarsham is Karmabhumi, where karma is performed and spiritual activities performed will produce results. Therefore, any spiritual activity is important when when it is executed. In that, many people, even now, in the villages if you go, that they will not, older people I'm talking about, the young generation has lost it. They've gone in a different direction. But many older people, if you see, you will still see them morning hours and in the evening hours, they will not do anything else. They will consider it as very, very bad to do something different than spiritual activity. In the children were trained in the past to chant the holy name in the evenings. And in the morning, naturally, they will be encouraged to go to the temple. In the evening, it may not happen. But in the morning, they were encouraged to go to the temple. So at least during that time, that association with Krishna in that way is important. In the daytime, vyavaharam will go on. They have to go to school, people have to go to offices and do things, different kinds of things. But at least these two different occasions, in the morning and in the evening, what we can do now is that even though we are restricted by this situation with the sun here, at least if we fix a time in the evening, I will engage in some spiritual activity at that time in the evening in memory of this Prabhadam and Pradosham, that will benefit us. There is no doubt about that. That's why all these aratis are set up also in the same way. We have Mangalarati in the morning, then evening arati at that particular time is meant for this, that we engage in spiritual life and nothing else. We are to be kept in and that control for that reason only. So, it is at that time that we say, you may have heard this, that Lord Shiva dances, isn't it? At that particular time in the evening. Pradosham time is Lord Shiva's dancing time. Nataraja dance, when he dances as the king of dance he is. So, Tandavam, the dance is called Tandavam, when he dances at that time. So, In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Didi Devi came to Kashyapa Prajapati. You remember that story? Kashyapa Prajapati had two wives, Didi Devi and Aditi Devi. Aditi Devi is the mother of all the demigods. Devas have come from Aditi Devi. All the demons have come from Didi Devi. And this Didi Devi had no children. Aditi had children. So Didi Devi, in a inappropriate time, in the Pradosham time, she approached Kashyapa Prajapati to have children. And Kashyapa Prajapati agreed and they had children, and that is Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born. So if Pradosham time is used for procreation and activities like that, consider it to be very sinful. Very, very sinful. So therefore, that time, Didi Devi is spoken, Kashyapa Prajapati speaks to Didi Devi about that inauspicious activity and an auspicious time. It speaks in the Srimad Bhagavatam in depth. We'll come to those verses. But what is important here is Krishna, the way Lord Shiva instructs at that time his disciples. That is in the Bhagavatam. In the Lord Shiva's role at that point is mentioned in a verse here like this, that Balyam Balya Dishwabi Jagrada Dishutata Sarvasu Avastha Swapi Vyavrtam Sunivartamana Mahamit Atyandaspurandam Sadam Swatmanam Pragadi Karodi Bajadam Yo Badraya Mudraya Tasmai Shri Guramurtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So Shiva has a form as Dakshinamurti. Dakshinamurti's form, he instructs the sages. All the great sages comes to Lord Shiva for being instructed on the transcendental knowledge. I mentioned this before, how he took this Dakshinamurti form. When the four Kumaras came for transcendental knowledge, transcendental instructions from Lord Shiva, they came and went to Brahma, didn't like the way Brahma was enjoying the music in the association of Saraswati Devi. They didn't want to get instructed because they were Urdhvaredasa. Urdhvaredasa means their consciousness was so high that still they wanted to discuss spiritual topics. So they didn't find Brahma, because if you go to somebody's house and if you find that person is more absorbed in material life, then you can't discuss anything about spiritual life, isn't it? So same thing with Kumaras also. They couldn't discuss with Brahma. They went to Lord Vishnu's abode and saw that he was being massaged by Lakshmi Devi. And these Kumaras were very much renounced personalities. From birth, they were like that. So they didn't like that also. They wanted some other one to instruct. So they went to Shiva and Parvati. And when they went there, there was Sri Parvati sitting in the Shiva's lap. And that also they didn't like. So they were going away. It was then that Sri Parvati mentioned this to Shiva, that you have to appear in front of them in a particular form so that you can instruct them properly. Otherwise, they won't take any instruction. They'll be disappointed. So it was then that Shiva took the form of Dakshinamurti as a Brahmachari form, sitting underneath the banyan tree and completely absorbed in the transcendental realizations. And that is the Dakshinamurti form. This Dakshinamurti's form is there is a temple built for Dakshinamurti, and some deities are installed by Sudev Goswami himself, those deity of Dakshinamurti. We went to one of them when we were there last time. So Dakshinamurti form is specifically for spiritual instructions to the sages. So four Kumaras came, and then later Vasishta and many other great souls, they all come and they are receiving instructions from Krishna. And on that instruction says this, Balyadishwabi Jagradadishu Tatha Sarvasvavastha Swabhi. Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardakyam. Four stages in our life, isn't it? Balyadishvabhi. Balyam is the boyhood, youthhood. Then balyam, kaumaram, yavanam. Yavanam is a youthhood, balyam, and in the middle, that what do they call as the teenage stage. Balyam is a childhood, then the teenage stage, then the youth stage, and vardhakyam, old stage, old age. So balyadishu abhi, in all these stages, jagradadishu tatha sarvasu avasthasu abhi. In all these four stages, in all these four balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vardhakyam, in these four different stages in life, we go through three stages, isn't it? What is that? Jagral, Swapnam, Sushupti. Jagral, Swapnam, Sushupti. They exist in all these four times also. So that's why it says here, Balyadishvabhi Jagradadishu Tada Sarvasu Avasthasubhi Vyavrittasvanu Vartamana Ahamityatandas Purandam Sada. That's important. That all those things or changes are happening in us. Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardhakyam. Jagral, Swapnam, Sushupti. All these things are happening in us. But what is happening inside us is Aham it atyandas purandam sada. Inside, Aham, I am. That consciousness is always present. Isn't it? Is there any state you can say that I didn't exist? There is no time you can say to anybody that you were without that I consciousness. I was existing in Jagrat. I was existing in Swapnam. I was existing in Sushupti. I was existing in Balyam, existing in Kaumaram, existing in Yavanam, existing in Vardhakyam. In all stages of life, all the time, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, I am existing. This is the first conclusion of the Shastram. Atyandas Purandam Sada. Then, says here, that Swalpmanam Pragati Karodi Bhajadam Yo Bhadrayam Udrayam. Swalpmanam Pragati Karodi. Without any assistance from externally, he is able to present himself before us. And Yo Bhadrayam Udrayam. That feeling of that consciousness that is coming from inside, and that is presence of Shiva inside. When we say Shiva, it's not referring to the personality Shiva. Shiva has another meaning of the word. Shiva means Mangalam. Mangalam means auspiciousness. The presence of the soul is the only auspicious thing in this body. The presence of the soul is the only auspicious thing in the body. That is why it is called Shiva. Yeah, Shiva means auspicious. It's not referring to the personality Shiva. The auspicious thing inside this is body. In the body is Shiva. It is called Shiva. The soul is called Shiva because it's an auspicious thing. He is the only thing that is auspicious inside. If you take Shiva from inside, it becomes Shavam. Shavam means what? Dead body. Isn't it? That's how dead body is referred to. He is Shavam. So Shiva goes away, it becomes Shavam. It becomes Shavam. So that's what is mentioned here, that that the Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshinamurtaye, that we pay our obeisances to that soul who is present inside, by whose presence this body has become auspicious. First thing we have to recognize that it is his presence that has made this body auspicious. Now here the important thing to remember is that although all these states of existence comes and goes all the time, similarly we have gone through these four states of life, Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardhakyam, it has not affected him, his presence. You can never say that in youth I was more conscious than in the old age, because eye consciousness is the same whether you are young or you are old. I still exist, isn't it? That you, at no stage, it goes away from me. So it has no reduction, no increase. It always remains in that steady state. I am existing, for that matter. So if you take a person who takes a 90-year-old man, he takes his photograph of a 2-year-old child, when he was a 2-year-old child, And he looks at the photo and thinks himself, oh, I was like this. So that I, when he was 2 years old, and when he's 90 years old, hasn't changed. I is same. He's thinking that I was like this when I was 2 years. But now I look like this. And then he looks at his body and thinks everything has changed. So, that consciousness stays without any change. The body has changed, and same thing, the intelligence has also changed. The mind has also changed. Everything has changed. But what has not changed is the I inside. That's the only thing that has not changed. Similarly, Jagral, Swapnam, Sushupti, the three states of existence. The reason why Western philosophy has failed is because they have only accepted the Jagrat state in their philosophical conclusions. Because they, when they developed their own philosophies, all the philosophers in the West, they have only taken this Jagrat state as the proper state. They took it that Sushupti state and dream state has no relevance. That is why soul is not taken very seriously because of this. For Vedic understanding, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is equally important. On the other hand, Sushupti state is more important than even the Jagrat state. And you can see that logic when you analyze Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti better. Because they did not take the dream state, Swapnam and Sushupti, seriously, they are not taken into their philosophical understanding, there is always a problem there. It cannot be explained. That's why the scriptures also, when they present, they are all related to their Jagrat state only. Have you noticed that? The scriptures that comes from that background is always related to the Jagrat state. What happens to Swapnam? What happens to Sushupti? That is not taken seriously from that angle. Now, Prahlad Maharaj is saying to us that 50% of our life existence in this world is Swapnam and Sushupti. Swapnam state and Sushupti state is 50% of our life in this world. There is a verse in the Bhagavadam Saptamaskandam, if you look. Pumso varshashadam ayur tadartham cha ajidalmana nishpalam yadasovaryatriyam shedhendam prapitastama. It's Prahlada's speaking this to his brothers, his students, who are the classmates. He's saying, Pumso varshashadam ayur tadartham cha ajidalmana nishpalam yadasovaryatriyam shedhendam prapitastama. It is Prahlada's statement. Prahlada is a realized soul from the womb who has come out, isn't it? So he's saying here that Pumso Varshashadam Ayur. Say, imagine you have got 100 years life in this world. Tadartham cha ajidalmana. Ardham cha ajidalmana. Ardham means half of that. Tadartham cha ajidalmana. Ajidalmana means one who have no control on his senses. One who has no control on his senses. He is absorbed nishphalam yadaso ratriyam. That is spent in useless things, completely useless things. Ratriyam shedhyandham prabhidastama. That in tamogunam he spends all that 50 years of life. 100 years if you take as the lifespan, 50 years you are in Jagrat state. Even if you agree for that, actually even 50 years we are not in Jagrat. We are less than that. Proper Jagrat state. But Prahlad is saying, you take 50 years as Jagrat, remaining 50 years as dream and deep sleep, or the Swapnam and the Sushupti state. How can you make any conclusions simply based on the Jagrat alone? That is the question. Unless you take into account the dream state and the deep sleep, all your conclusions are wrong about the our life in this world, isn't it? It's obvious like that. So that's why he's saying here that that it is important to take all the three states of existence. There's a statement, I don't know how it is explained in the Bible, but there is a statement like this that I have seen this preachers in Kerala, they talk this like this: you should knock the door, it will open. Knock the door, Jesus' statement like that. Knock the door, it will open. But this knocking the door, you have to knock at the three doors, not only one door. If you knock at all the three doors, then all the three doors will open. We have to knock at all the three doors, not only at the one door of Jagrat state. In Jagrat state, if you open, the Jagrat door will open. But what about the Swapnam door and Sushupti door? That also we have to open and see what's happening there, isn't it? And they are not doing that. They are not opening those two doors. They are not knocking at those two doors. That's why we cannot, under any circumstances, accept any other philosophy except the Vedic way of analyzing it. That this is how we see that a living entity in this world is going through these states all the time. Sages, out of their deeper, much deeper understanding, they have seen us complete in all aspects. Purnamadam, Purnamidam. We are complete. And in this complete unit of this body, if you look at it, you have to see from all aspects before we make any judgment on this body. Purnamadam, Purnamidam. This Purnam, this Idam is Purnam. And that Adam is also Purnam. So Purnam has come from that Purnam, isn't it? So, that these two things in dream, in the sleep, we have two parts, isn't it? Sleep has two parts. One is the dream state and the other one is the deep sleep. Other one is the deep sleep. One is the dream state, the other one is the state where you don't have dreams. Deep sleep is that state. So, in the Jagrat state, we are sitting as the body. We stay in this world as the body. In the Jagrat state. And Jagrat, and we see the other bodies as well at the same time. We see our own body, we see other bodies as well. And we conduct our transactions in that way. Purely on a bodily level. In the Jagrat state. That is how all the transactions happens. When the Jagrat is over, once you cross the Jagrat state, the mind automatically closes. Mind automatically closes from the Jagrat world. It starts closing down. And in Sushupti state, Swapnam or the dream state also, we see in the same way. What is happening there? Then the mind has taken over in the dream state, but mind is independent now. It doesn't get influenced by the body anymore. Body is not affecting it. Body, we left it when we moved on to the dream state. And in the dream state, this mind decides what we should do. Mind decides what we should do. And we should not reject the dream state. All these three states are equally important from different angles if you look at it. And we must not think at any time one state is less important than the other. For spiritual realization, because we are going to the fourth state beyond these three states we should study very well. Its aspects, its qualities, its good side and the bad side, what we get from that and what we don't get from that. If you analyze these three states very well, you will enjoy that when you go to the fourth state, you can see all three of them are, as Krishna says, is nothing but activities of Maya. Activities of Maya. So, not only we are controlled in the body through breathing, digestion, and blood circulation, heart beating, we are also controlled even in the dream and deep sleep through these three states of existence, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. So, practically speaking, we are not simply not independent. We are actually under the complete control of Krishna's creation. In that, we are just a small element that fits in there. This small part has not much of an independence to do anything. It's so much a part of that big, gigantic master plan Krishna has created. In that, it just fits in somewhere. That is all it is. So, the important point here was that when you leave from the dream state to the deep sleep state, the mind immediately closes and dissolves there. Isn't it? Mind closes and dissolves there. And that is why in Sushupti state, as soon as you get to the Sushupti state, that mind is not operating. There is no identity with the false ego, I am. We lose that at that point. Isn't it? Ahambuddhi has gone from us. Ahambuddhi has gone from us. So, So the thing is that mind is not operating and vyakti bhodam. Vyakti bhodam means personality. Personality also is not existing in the deep sleep state, isn't it? Personality doesn't exist in the deep sleep state. So therefore, we don't, because personality is not existing, we are not conscious of time at that time, isn't it? In deep sleep, we are not conscious of the time, isn't it? All these watches, clocks and all have no validity at that time, in the deep sleep state. Time is also not known to us in the deep sleep state. That is because the personality has gone away. Now, we sleep deeply in our deep sleep state. Mind is not operating, personality is not operating, and we don't know the time. And whether we, once you've gone into the deep sleep state, whether you sleep in America or you sleep in London, there is no difference, isn't it? As far as our existence is concerned. Why I'm saying all these things is that when we are analyzing ourselves, if you simply stick with the Jagrat state and start seeing everything through Jagrat and all discussions based on Jagrat state, conclusions can always be wrong, because as Prahlad said, it's only even 50% of your life. 50% of life you are not evaluating. You have to evaluate all the 100 years if you have 100 years life. All what you have done in the 100 years time. Only then your evaluation is proper. It's understandable, isn't it? Like anything else in this world. So when you analyze it this way, you can see that in deep sleep state, in Sushupti state, whether you are in America, whether you are in Russia, whether you are in London, it makes no difference. The place is not important anymore, where you are. Because your experience at that time is something different, irrespective of the place where you are. Isn't it? It makes no difference to you whether you are in UK or USA or Russia or elsewhere, because at that time you are not connected with the place. You have no connection with the place where you are. You are gone. Left the body, left the mind. Mind is gone and dissolved. False ego is dissolved. Everything is dissolved. Personality has even gone at that point. Even the personality at that particular time has gone. Personality does exist, but it dissolves at that time. When it comes back, it comes back again in the vacant state. Then we identify with the place where we were born and what we are. We give all our titles, man, woman, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, and also husband, wife, and Englishman, German, American. All these identities have come after we come back from the Sushupti state. Isn't it? After we come back from Sushupti state, only identification comes. So when we have accepted that identification also is there only in the Jagrat state. Only in the 50% of our life in this world, only identification exists. Other 50%, identification doesn't exist. In Swapnam state, what's happening is, sometimes we identify depending on the vasanas inside. We identify. In Jagrat state, we identify in a different way. For example, in Swapnam state, say some old vasana has popped up in the Swapnam. At that time, you identify with that. Say you have been working 30 years ago somewhere, in some particular job you did, or you lived somewhere in some country. In the dream, if that has come back to you, what happens to you? You immediately identify with that one. That means the mind is bringing you the identification at that time. In the Jagrat state, your ignorance is bringing the identification with the body. That the body has come from this particular place, so I am that. Or I am living in this family, husband or wife, so I am that. Or I belong to this caste, I am that. Or I am a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, whatever that is. All these identities are a product of this ignorance in the Jagrat state. It's a Jagrat state ignorance, it's called. The dream state ignorance is the ignorance from the mind. The Sushupti state ignorance is the ignorance which is tamogunam covering the soul, where it's not allowing you to manifest your consciousness of the soul. Yeah. So in all three states, there is ignorance. All these three states, there is ignorance. That is the important point. So it is interesting. Sometimes you won't see this here. In India, people sleep on the road, you know, in some places. Because at night time there is no traffic. And the road is the best place without any exclaim. And the asphalted road, very interior villages you have to go. You'll see sometimes places, workers and all that, who have to go to work in the morning. They have to get up and go to work. And they have not a proper place of residence. So many places, interior villages, you will see, they just sleep on the road. There's no traffic at night. Nobody goes at that time in that area. So they just comfortably sleep in the night. So when he's sleeping there, is he anyway different than a big, rich person sleeping in his comfortable bed in the in his palace? So what does mean is that when we are analyzing, we make our list. Somebody is very rich in our Fortune 500 or whatever it is. We put people, isn't it? He's only rich in the Jagrat state. Remember that. Fortune 500, when you make the list, you must take that into account also. He's only rich when in the Jagrat state you can say he has got all these assets, riches and everything. In deep sleep state, that whether it is the richest people in the world, whether it's Bill Gates or Mittal or whoever it is, they're only rich in the Jagrat state. When it comes to the deep sleep state, he is equal to the person who is sleeping on the road in the village. Because from that platform, if you look at it, neither of them are conscious of their assets in this world, nor of them you can say that they are different. Because you come back to Jagrat and you start preparing all this list, the list becomes valid. So the list is only valid in the Jagrat state, not in the deep sleep state. The list is not valid. So they have to put that note when they meet the list next time. Then this only apply to that part of it. So when the mind pops up in the morning, that we feel all these things, identity starts and other identification starts. Once you sleep, immediately body is forgotten. Personality has also, we give up at the time of sleep. That's why in Upanishads, the statement is like this. Raja araja bhavati. A king is not a king anymore when he goes to sleep. Mata amata bhavati. A mother is not a mother anymore when she sleeps. Pita apita bhavati. A father is not a father anymore when he goes to sleep. So, those in other words, a man is not a man anymore when he goes to sleep, isn't it? In deep sleep, man doesn't exist. Woman doesn't exist. It's not male, female. All these identities all lost as soon as you leave your body to the deep sleep state. What to talk about that? Even Vaishnavam, Shaivam, all that goes away once you have gone into deep sleep state. Sometimes Vaishnavas and Shaivas arguments can happen. Vaishnavas will say Vishnu is supreme, Shaiva will say Shiva is supreme. And it can develop into arguments. So once it so happened that they were fiercely arguing each other, who is supreme. And eventually what happened was, they got tired and they gone and taken some room, a dormitory-like thing, in a hall, in a village. And both of them went to sleep. They were sleeping next to each other. They got tired after arguing. They went to sleep eventually. When they went to sleep, in the sleep it can happen that you may put your hand on somebody, or, you know, when you're very tired, the legs will go in the heat. It can all happen. So one sage wrote a poem about that, saying that this Vaishnava and Shaiva who were fighting whole day, in the night they have not fighting. They stop. And they get up in the morning and they start fighting again. So, seeing all these things, how can we reject the dream state and the deep sleep? When we see these changes happening in us, right here, how could we give up the importance of the dream state and the deep sleep? Because it's just to show to us that when we have woken up, immediately the I am woke up inside, and personality goes away when he goes to sleep, and this personality, ahangaram, false ego, and all these things, it's only the place is in the mind. Once the mind gets dissolved in sushupti states, that then this sushupti, the problem with the sushupti is, why, although Sushupti we accept that there is no body, there is no mind, in Sushupti knowledge won't develop. Knowledge won't develop. Sushupti has got a coverage, isn't it? Everything gets dissolved there. That is the problem with Sushupti. Because the mind, body, yes, everything in a dissolved state, you cannot realize the self in Sushupti. That is the problem with Sushupti. Problem with Sushupti is that because the mind, the body, everything is dissolved in Sushupti states, the knowledge cannot be acquired in the Sushupti states. When we say knowledge cannot be acquired, what is knowledge? Let's look at that. Knowledge means we are saying, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. Isn't it? That's knowledge. That knowledge realization can only happen when they are present. And that is why we say only in Jagrat state you can realize the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or is it boring, all this? No, sometimes it is, people feel it's, what's the need for all these things? To know all this. But it's good to know these things. That, why people, somebody says to you, why Sushupti state is so blissful? Why not? Why not stay in Sushupti all the time? Why we should not stay in Sushupti is this reason. That in Sushupti state, the mind, the body, the intelligence, everything is gone. What does happens to it? It goes and dissolves, isn't it? It dissolves. Layam it's called. Layam. It cannot function, in other words. If it cannot function, then you cannot reject it. It has to function. In Jagrat state, what is the consciousness is? Jagrat state, the body is there, the mind is there, the intelligence is there. It is at that time that we are shifting our attention from that to the soul. So in other words, because of their presence only, we are able to reject them. If they were not present there, then you cannot reject them. And it is only through rejection of this body, mind and intelligence that we are identifying with the soul. Isn't it? So that is the reason Jagrat state is important. Because only in Jagrat state you can acquire spiritual knowledge. And therefore, Jagrat state also not to be rejected. Every stage has its own important aspects. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. So in Jagrat state we have this advantage. If the same state of experience in Sushupti, if you can bring that to Jagrat, then you have realized. In Sushupti what happened? Your identification with the body, mind, intelligence has gone away. In Jagrat we have got that, plus we have got the soul as well. So in Jagrat state, if we can experience that same consciousness in the deep sleep, then you have realized the self. So Sushupti you have already released. In Swapnam you have got the mind, problem with the mind. In Jagrat you have got problem with everything. So when everything is rejected, or everything, 1880, that's what they talk about. When you release from all of these things and you are with the soul in Jagrat state, then it's a self-realization. We'll discuss tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.